today's edition of The Mobile Messenger, a series of podcasts from SearchMobileComputing.com focused solely on issues that affect the mobile enterprise. Hi, I'm Andrew Hickey, and I'm joined by Daniel Taylor, the Managing Director for the Mobile Enterprise Alliance, a trade group focused on enterprise mobility applications. Today we'll be discussing some of the highlights from CTIA Wireless 2006. CTIA Wireless 2006 was held April 5th through 7th in Las Vegas, Nevada. This event focuses on the future of the U.S. cellular industry. Dan attended CTIA Wireless 2006 and met with several dozen companies, developing products and services for the enterprise. In this podcast, I talk with Dan about some highlights from the show and his conversations. Hi, Dan. How was Las Vegas?
Hi, Andrew. Las Vegas was fine. It's nice to go to a conference in a city that can handle several trade shows at once. Though by Tuesday afternoon, some of us were standing in the taxi line at the airport reminiscing about Barcelona, the city that hosted 3GSM earlier this year.
Speaking of 3GSM, the question on my mind is whether you're a glutton for punishment. After that show, you talked about how hard it was for the enterprise mobility industry to be heard. And yet here you are again going to another conference focused solely on wireless operators.
Our industry doesn't yet have a conference of its own, and we hope to change that. Mobile enterprise is a small but nascent line of business that includes established vendors as well as a growing number of startups. If we take RIM's success to date as an example, then their 4 million subscribers represents about 0.5% market penetration. We clearly have a long way to go. As for the market itself, in the past month I've said that I don't know whether the device manufacturers and wireless operators have decided really to take enterprise mobility seriously. There are the dominant vendors in the industry, and there's a great deal of uncertainty about whether there is a viable line of business in the mobile enterprise. In comparison, the consumer wireless industry sells large volumes of services and devices. Meanwhile, the mobile enterprise industry sells lower volumes of mobile devices and wireless services, albeit at higher margins. BlackBerry, for example, is squarely centered in the mobile enterprise. It's not really a consumer product at all. And the margins on BlackBerry data blow away any margins the carriers see in the consumer wireless side. But the mobile enterprise is a very different animal. Enterprise IT departments have a large set of requirements for security, policy management, and integration. And, as we'll discuss more in this podcast, sales and distribution take an altogether different form in the mobile enterprise industry. If we compare enterprise and consumer, it's clear that the mobile enterprise industry is an extremely different business for both the carriers and the device managers. I've had many people within the industry tell me, of course, off the record, that they don't know whether there's an enterprise market for mobility beyond cellular telephony and mobile email.
Well, that's really surprising to hear. How much of that is just hyperbole?
Not much. I take it all with a grain of salt. There's clearly an enterprise mobility industry, and nobody is arguing the 800 million worker market size that IDC has already identified. And then there are the vendors I met with at CTIA. More and more companies are taking the enterprise seriously, and more application vendors have enterprise-specific products. So in the middle of mobile gaming, music downloads, ringtones, and movies compressed onto handsets, there is a growing comprehension of the enterprise as the end customer of a growing number of business-specific technologies, products, and services.
What I'm hearing here is a lot of industry speak. We all can read the analyst reports about who made which announcements and how that'll affect the price of tea in China. You're talking about vendors, and that's fine, but what does this mean for enterprise IT departments?
That's really a good question, and the answer is that it means a lot. What we have here is a growing number of innovators that see the wireless carriers as a channel to the enterprise market. Let me explain. For many technology companies, the focus has been to sell to the carriers, getting wireless operators to buy expensive software and use it in their day-to-day operations. That's fine, but it only represents part of the market. Once the carriers have bought all of their billing systems, their marketing platforms, games, and downloadable ringtones, that's pretty much it. The carriers can only buy so much. The trend that we've been waiting for is the idea of sell-through. This is what RIM has done so well with BlackBerry. RIM helps the carriers come to market with very profitable wireless data services, and the carriers then sell that for them. Let me give you an example. Last week I met with Paul Cran at Tatara Systems. The company had a demonstration of a service that they're enabling for wireless carrier O2, which is active in UK and Western Europe. Using different pieces of technology, Tatara was demonstrating the ability for a mobile device, like a smartphone, to roam from a local Wi-Fi network, or a hotspot, onto a carrier 3G network. This is precisely an enterprise application, and services like this will make it to market in the coming months. For the enterprise, it's important for each and every one of us to know that technologies like these exist, because it gives IT departments specific things to ask for. If enough of us ask our account managers for local to wide area roaming for wireless data, then that's how we'll get the services we need.
Huh. And how do things look for mobile email?
Well, not much has changed. For large enterprises, RIM and GOOD are pretty much the only game in town. These two platforms provide the level of integration and security that large enterprise IT departments expect.
What about Microsoft and the U.S. Census announcement? That's 500,000 devices. And isn't that a large enterprise deployment?
It most certainly is. Microsoft has some kinks to work out with Exchange Server 2003 Service Pack 2. Now that's a mouthful. But some enterprise IT departments will find the Microsoft solution to be acceptable. But others I've spoken to have concerns about the management cost and product life cycles. There's universal agreement that the Microsoft solution isn't free, like the company contends. It's not an insurmountable challenge, but today, RIM and GOOD are the most viable large enterprise solutions.
And what about solutions for the smaller enterprises?
Well, Microsoft has a strong play in those environments, and the same holds true for companies like 7 and Visto. Also, I spoke with DataViz, a company that has a mobile email solution that's based upon Microsoft ActiveSync. It's not unlike what Nokia can offer with their IntelliSync product. I should mention that there are many, many companies focused exclusively on mobile email. I just can't mention them all, but I'll hit one more highlight, and that's Finambol. What was really interesting is that Finambol is an open-source mobile email applications platform. And after speaking with the CEO of the company, Fabrizio Capobianco, it's clear to me that the company definitely understands the enterprise market. They claim to have had over 100,000 downloads of their platform in the past month. Like Microsoft, the Finambol platform makes a lot of sense to the value-added reseller and integrator channel. And what I really liked about Finambol was the fact that the company was talking about the disconnected applications that are so commonplace in the enterprise. Now, at CTIA, many of the companies were only discussing carrier services, wireless data, and other connected applications. But if you look at the ways in which companies are employing mobility, disconnected, synchronized applications are very much state-of-the-art. Finambol isn't alone. Companies like Sybase have dozens of case studies for disconnected applications. So for smaller enterprises and into the SMB category, the sooner we connect those IT departments with solutions providers developing applications, the better off we'll be.
Okay, so we've talked about mobile email and a little bit about wireless data services. What else is there in the mobile enterprise industry?
Well, there's clearly far more to enterprise mobility than mobile email and wireless data services. Anybody who's ever telecommuted, taken a laptop on the road, or checked email from home has been a mobile worker. Now, let me give the obvious example. How many of us have a cell phone that we use at work? How many of us take calls on that phone at all hours? Well, it turns out that cellular telephony is still the largest mobility expense in just about every company in the United States. And with all that money going to cellular, there are a fair number of innovations in corporate networking. There are traditional topics of IP telephony and fixed-to-mobile convergence, and those topics were everywhere at CTIA. But most IT departments are heading in a very different direction: fixed-to-mobile substitution and integration. Last fall, Strategy Analytics, which is a research firm, published a report that found that 70% of business cell phone usage is distributed between two locations. It was no surprise to find out that those two locations were the office and the home. And so as more and more workers use their cell phone as their primary communications tool, IT departments are looking to provide integration between that cell phone and the corporate telephone network. So what this means for users is integration with corporate directories, 4 or 5 digit dialing to reach coworkers, international call routing, and a visual interface to voicemail. So voicemail that might look more like email. These are services that corporate IT departments can provide to workers today without waiting for the wireless operators to roll out a new set of complicated services.
Well, that's interesting. Where do these types of services lead?
Well, if we focus on that cell phone a little more, it's becoming clear that mobile workers like to travel light. Recent advances in storage are making it possible for some types of workers to leave their laptops at home. Kingston Technology, the memory company, was at the show announcing new memory chips and promoting ways to put files like presentations onto cell phones. Now, that's definitely a concept that appeals to somebody like me. Leaving the laptop at home and presenting from my cell phone, now that I have 512 megabytes on my cell phone, it's a definite possibility. Now, this isn't the only way to travel light. The USB key, for example, is gaining popularity as a mobility tool. For example, there are a number of companies offering USB memory keys that enable workers to take their files and accounts with them. So the worker can plug into any computer, see his file and files and emails, keep his preferences, save items to his bookmarks, and access files on a server, all without having to take a laptop along. Before CTIA, I met with a company named Red Cannon that was doing this application with tools designed specifically for enterprise IT departments, giving them tools to manage these types of mobile workers. Now, I should reiterate, these are enterprise products designed to be deployed and managed by IT departments. That's really important.
Okay, so if I understand this correctly, this is a type of mobility that's wholly different from mobile email. It puts the enterprise IT department in the driver's seat. In what other ways can IT departments manage mobility?
Okay, now, not to beat the drum a little too much, but let's stick with cellular. And there's a four-letter acronym that's been making the rounds for the past several years. And we're talking about it more and more in the enterprise context. Those four letters are MVNO, which stands for Mobile Virtual Network Operator. Now, we know the concept of an MVNO from the consumer wireless industry, where companies like Virgin Mobile and Boost apply their brands to an existing carrier network and sell services on top of that network. So, for example, Virgin Mobile doesn't operate their own network. They contract to Sprint Nextel here in the U.S. to operate that same network for them. Now, this works really fine for consumers, but for the enterprise, when we start talking about MVO, we're really talking about a different animal. So what IT managers want is to gain greater control over their presence in the wide area for both cellular and mobile data. So if the IT department can manage and provision users, it'll help in two ways. The first is improving the economics of servicing internal users. So, you know, those are things like help desk and internal self-service websites and things like that. And the second is in developing new services. If we go back to that O2 demo I was talking about from Tatara Systems, if the enterprise can become a carrier in their own right, then they can authenticate users, pool minutes, and share information that would enable roaming between the carrier and the enterprise network. So in the near future, we would be talking about a user who would be on an enterprise network in the campus and who would walk out the front door and roam onto one of the carrier networks. This is something we've been talking about for well over a decade, but it looks like we can actually do that now. Now, however, the idea of an enterprise MVNO isn't all toast and roses. I spoke with Craig Hocker at MVN Go, a company that provides enabling technologies and services for MVNOs. He gave me two important points for companies considering to become an MVNO. First, he said that the best way for an enterprise to reach carrier-level economics would be to work with only one wireless operator. Now, most enterprises aren't comfortable putting all their eggs into one basket, and that's really a sticking point. Secondly, he said that below a certain number of subscribers, the economics just aren't there. So, in other words, enterprise IT departments need to decide what business they want to be in and whether they want to become a wireless operator in their own right or if they just want to enable services that work between their networks and the networks the carriers provide to them.
All right, so I'm sensing a common theme here, integration between the carrier and the enterprise network.
Absolutely. This is where the mobile enterprise industry is headed. the technologies are pretty much there, and it's really only a matter of time before the enterprises can leverage the capabilities of the carrier's network for the larger set of policies that they manage. This is really an extremely important point, because in enterprise mobility, it's the enterprise policies, the processes, and the requirements that dominate things. So the carriers are really good at providing a network, and that has its own underlying set of economies. But it's a fallacy to expect that the carriers will ever be able to make money implementing and managing a set of enterprise-specific policies. You know, who gets what service, when they get that, and how. It's more likely that the carriers will provide the tool set and that enterprises will make the network their own.
So as we start to wrap up here, what action items should enterprise IT departments take away from CTIA?
Well, first, it's mobile email. If a company doesn't have a set of plans for mobile email, they should get one very quickly. IT departments should really ask the difficult questions about security, integration, and ongoing management expense. And they should determine what kind of email they want to provide to different groups of workers. It may be a combination of platforms, or it may be a single platform like Microsoft. So, I mean, there are a lot of options out there. Enterprises can provide mobile email and applications that run on regular phones. They don't necessarily need smartphones. It's really a matter of what they want to do. Now, secondly, there's data roaming between local and wide area. And so we're talking Wi-Fi hotspots, or wireless local area networks roaming onto wide area carrier data networks, 2.5G, GPRS, 1XRTT, EVDO, 3G, you name it. In order to make this happen, if I were an IT manager, I'd keep current with companies like iPass and FiberLink, and then I'd look long and hard at some of the upcoming technologies like Tatara, PadCom, and NetMotion. Every IT department should know the alternatives here. The third thing I'd look at is fixed to mobile integration. I wouldn't lose much sleep over fixed to mobile convergence, because that's all about call routing, and the carriers have yet to weigh in with services. Instead, I'd look at the services that IT departments can provide to workers today. Specifically, companies that IT departments should look at are companies like Orative, Traverse Networks, Ascendant, which is the company that RIM just bought, and others. And then finally, there's the idea of a management footprint, which is getting a platform that will give an IT department visibility onto mobile devices, be they cell phone, smartphone, PDA, you name it. As we think about fixed to mobile integration, those applications, visual voicemail, call routing, corporate directories, those applications involve software that IT departments and users can install onto cell phones, smartphones, and other mobile devices. So what IT departments really need to think about is getting a management footprint onto these mobile devices and using that footprint as a launching pad for new services. Our goal as an industry should be to help IT departments to make that happen.
Clearly, there's a lot going on in the industry, and there's a lot for IT departments to think about. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks, Andrew. I appreciate the opportunity to report back.
This podcast was brought to you by SearchMobileComputing.com. Thank you for joining us, and be sure to come back for future editions of the Mobile Messenger podcast that focus solely on issues affecting the mobile enterprise.